The following talk is offered freely to ensure that no one is ever denied access to these practices and to these teachings. If you feel inspired to make a donation to support this offering, you can go to my website at jonathanfaust.com. While you're there, you can also sign up for a monthly newsletter designed to support you in your practice. Thank you, and enjoy. Namaste, welcome. At this time of day, we'll be taking some time for the practice in loving kindness and the cultivation of what are called the Brahmaviharas, which is your capacity for kindness and compassion and joy and equanimity. It can be a very, very helpful practice to take this time. And when it comes to cultivating a sense of appreciation and kindness, I'm always reminded of something that Garrison Keillor said that he wrote his parents when he was in college. And he said, "Dear Mom and Dad, I want you to know you no longer have to criticize me. I come to realize I've completely internalized your voices and I'm doing it for you from now on." We have this built-in function that is designed to be judgmental, to be constantly self-assessing. And it's a very helpful function. It keeps us on the planet. But at the same time, it can be quite crippling. So taking time to really explore this can be quite transformational. In the Buddha's time, during the rainy seasons, all of the practitioners would come together and practice as one community for roughly 3 months. And when the rainy season ended, they were instructed to go out into the woods and out into the different communities to do their practice. And it was a solitary practice, so they were kind of sent to go find a tree, find a place in nature where you can sit and observe the present moment. And many of them noted that they were terrified. There were creepy sounds and creepy things in the woods. Also a cultural belief in ghosts at that time. So many of the practitioners being alone out in the wilderness were terrified, and they asked for a practice that could help them. And this is where the Buddha really clarified the practice of metta, of loving kindness, of practicing how to generate a sense of well-being and well-wishing towards self and well-being and well-wishing toward others. That can be a very powerful way of calming. It's helpful to remember that you're really developing two important faculties, the two wings of the bird of mindfulness of you, well, are first the capacity for wisdom, which is your capacity to recognize what's true, to see through your preferences, your embellishments, your stories, the narrative, to actually come in contact with reality and to see it clearly. Very helpful function. A lot of the disciplines and techniques we're doing are all about that. That's just one of the wings. The other wing is the wing of compassion. It's the capacity to hold your experience, to be with your experience. And that also requires training. And just as when you focus on cultivating present moment, continuous present moment awareness, you will notice in great detail how you are not present. All the subtleties of how your mind gets carried away by all the different winds of the mind. In that same way, when you come into an active practice of metta, of cultivating loving kindness for yourself and others, you will notice how you are not kind and how you are not loving. You may notice in a little more detail the judgment, the ruthless self-critic. You may notice as well feelings of unworthiness. It's not uncommon, particularly when we begin to practice bringing loving kindness to self, we begin to realize how bereft we are of even getting access to self-kindness and self-compassion. So it becomes a very active part of the practice. It can bring you to a very powerful edge, to that edge of wisdom, of watching how you slip away from what's true and what's present. And in the act of compassion, how you slip away into comparing and judging, into that ruthless self-critic, into doubt and so forth. I wanted to take a little bit of time, since we're on the topic of kindness towards self, to talk a little bit about kindness toward your body and the posture that you'll be in for this next week. Anyone noticed you're already building up any unpleasant sensations from sitting over time? Yeah, you can plan on that continuing. But there are a few things I'd like to share about your posture of sitting that can be, I think, that can be helpful. And I'd like to talk a little bit about sitting on the cushion and sitting on the chair. You may find that if you sit and your hips are not higher than your knees, you're going to find yourself leaning forward a little bit. And that will inevitably create some strain through your lower back. So if you're sitting on the floor, it can be very, very helpful to explore what it might be like just to raise your pelvis an inch or two. May help you to keep more of an aligned spine. Also, if you're sitting cross-legged and you're finding that both knees don't come down to the ground easily, you might prop up one of your knees. That'll help you to get a little bit more balanced. If you're sitting in a chair, you may find it helpful to bring your lower back a little bit away from the back of your chair, because if you lean back, there's a very interesting phenomena. There's sort of short-term pleasure in leaning back, but inevitably what it will do is it'll bring your head forward, and when your head chronically comes forward, you'll build some tension. If you're sitting in a chair and you need a little bit more back support, it's important to acknowledge that for most of us, it's very rare where you will sit without some kind of back support. So there are intrinsic core muscles that hold you upright, and they get tired. So when they get tired, you're going to notice the effect of gravity, where you'll get a natural little curve in your lower back. You lose that sense of the curve. Then your sternum will drop a little bit. Then your shoulder blades will kind of wing out behind you. Then your head comes forward. And before you know it, you're drooling. So finding a way to stay upright and lengthened is a real challenge. Inevitably, when we tend to lose the posture is where we tend to collapse a little bit in the middle. So a really helpful thing to do from time to time is to explore the back bending stretches, and I'm sure Larissa will be guiding you through those. But a very, very simple stretch that I like to recommend, that I do for myself, is just a way to kind of help you sort of open the chest a little bit. And this is, if you like, you can just draw your navel in toward your spine. So you're kind of activating the core. And you can press down through the sits bones, through the floor of the pelvis. And you can just lean forward just maybe about an inch or two. And then bring your arms up overhead, a couple of variations. If you like, you can interlace your fingers and just bring them right to the crown of your head. And begin to deepen your breath. You might breathe in slowly to the count of four or five. Exhale slowly to the count of four or five. And you're not straining, but you might begin to draw your shoulder blades together a little bit closer. You might even explore opening the elbows out wide to the side. And again, no strain here, but you're going to be holding a kind of a consistent contraction right through the shoulder blades. And again, you can draw the navel in toward your spine. Another alternative here is to bring your hands slightly behind your head. And sense if you can lengthen a little bit through the back of the neck. And you want to press back into the hands maybe 10%, slight. You can take three more slow, deep breaths. Imagine you're breathing the heart forward. Opening the elbows out wide. And if you hold this posture for about five breaths, that's about a minute or so, it kind of helps to reset these contracted or lengthened muscles get contracted. The contracted muscles through the front of the body get lengthened. Then a nice little transition I find, you can reach your arms up overhead. You might just lengthen up through the fingertips. Let your eyes close and feel the space between your fingers. And then let your hands just drift down to your lap. And take a few moments now with the eyes closed and just notice. Sense through the core and the midline of the body if perhaps they may feel a little more length into the sternum. Your shoulder blades may feel just a little bit more open, flattened against the back. And note if it's possible to be in the body with a sense of kindness. Not too tight, not too loose. But a sense of ease and presence. And then if you like, you can gently deepen the breath and you can let your eyes open. It's quite common when you're sitting for long periods of time to build up unpleasant sensation in the body. And there are some things that can be helpful for you as you explore this. One is to sense if you can explore keeping the heart open. What happens physiologically, from my understanding, is when gravity kind of takes over, the muscles through the back of the neck and the shoulders get chronically lengthened. The muscles in the front of the body get chronically shortened. So by just opening and holding in just simple ways, you can explore what it's like to lengthen these shortened muscles, contract those lengthened muscles, and you may have a sense of resetting. You may find as well, sitting in a chair, depending on if you're tall like I am, I'm using two cushions to get my pelvis a little bit higher. If you're finding that you've got short legs and your feet aren't hitting the ground, you can use a cushion under your feet. You may also find pushing something down to your lower back to just tilt your pelvis forward may help a little bit. And one of my tricks from time to time, again, because there's that natural collapsing, so I might just place a cushion on my lap and just rest my palms on it. And that will take a little bit of pressure off and help to keep that sense of lengthening. All that being said, with all you have control over with your posture, you will be experiencing unpleasant sensation most probably through the course of this week. And this is where the practice of metta can be very, very helpful. Imagine if you stub your toe and the attitude that you have is to be angry with yourself for stubbing your toe. And when you think of stubbing your toe, you're just reminded of being critical toward yourself and a little bit of anger toward that sensation. On the other hand, imagine you stub your toe and you hold that stubbed toe like you would as if a child had stubbed their toe. Imagine you might be able, if you were able to offer it some tenderness, to hold it with a sense of kindness. There's very little doubt that physical healing is oftentimes dramatically enhanced when we can offer a sense of kindness and a sense of well-being. So if you encounter physical sensation, unpleasant sensation, it can become a very powerful part of your meditation practice. Can I hold the sensation with some tenderness? Can I hold the sensation lightly? In that same way, when you encounter physical pain, you can dramatically increase the healing potential by feeling it fully, by offering tenderness and kindness. In that same way, when you encounter emotional pain and emotional turbulence, when you encounter the mind caught in aversion or anger or craving or doubt or the ruthless critic or sloth and torpor or restlessness, you may find that this practice of loving kindness can be a very powerful healing salve. Not that it goes away, but it can change your relationship to it quite powerfully. I'd like to share a little bit on some of the classic teachings on metta, and then to talk a little bit about some of the ways that you can practice. I'm saying to someone that the first rule of metta is there are no rules to metta. I think of the practice of metta as like playing jazz. You have to keep improvising to keep it fresh. Otherwise, it can become quite rote. If you practice metta in a mechanical way, you know what that's like. You know, may you be happy. May you be free from suffering. May you, etc. So let me read you the classic teaching from the sutta. If you like, you can close your eyes. And just imagine this language from 2,500 years ago. And while the language may not be really contemporary, but you might sense the potency of this teaching offered in another culture and another age, generations and generations and generations back. This is the Metta Sutta. May all beings be happy and secure. May they be happy-minded. Whatever living beings there are, feeble or strong, long, stout, or medium, short, small, or large, seen or unseen, those dwelling far or near, those who are born or those who await rebirth, may all beings, without exception, be happy-minded. Let none deceive another, nor despise any person, whatever, in any place. In anger or ill will, let them not wish any suffering to each other. Just as a mother would protect her only child at the risk of her own life, even so, let each cultivate a boundless heart toward all beings. Let thoughts of boundless loving kindness pervade the whole world, above, below, across, without obstruction, without any hatred, without any enmity. This, they say, is divine abiding here. And you might just sense the potency of this inner stance. And just as a mother would protect her only child at the risk of her own life, let each cultivate a boundless heart toward all beings. When you contemplate that, just sense what that feels like on the inside. In the Pali Canon, there is here a description of the benefits of practicing metta meditation. And among them are the following. One sleeps easily. One wakes easily. One dreams no evil dreams. One is dear to human beings, dear to non-human beings. One's mind gains concentration quickly. One's complexion is bright. One dies unconfused and, if penetrating no higher, is headed for the Brahma worlds or the divine abodes. So if you like, you can let your eyes open or you can remain with them closed. So those benefits are awfully alluring. To sleep well, have sweet dreams, to be beloved by all, have one's complexion bright, and to be destined for the higher realms. And the question then becomes, well, how? How do you practice? What I have found in my own exploration in metta practice is that you have to adapt the practice so it works for you. There is no one set way to practice. And this can become a very interesting laboratory this week to explore the different ways that you can engage the heart in your practice. I spent some time with Sylvia Boorstein, who some refer to as the queen of metta. She loves metta. And I found it very fascinating listening to her because she talked about the phrases, may you be happy, you know, may you feel free from suffering, may you be peaceful. And she said, those words don't work for me. She said, the word feel works for me. May you feel happy. May you feel peace. May you feel strong and radiant. May you feel free from suffering. And I love the fact that she felt free to do her own jazz in that practice. And it gave me permission, and I'm passing that on to you. It's interesting to reflect on how each of us have different learning styles, different ways that we process information. Some of us are visual thinkers. We kind of think in pictures. And here the practice of metta might include visualization. If you're exploring the practice, as Pat talked earlier, gladdening the mind, which is a reflection on gratitude and appreciation, which is one of those wonderful brain chemicals you can induce. If you're a visual person, you might find it very, very helpful to really visualize that which you are reflecting on and turn up the colors, turn up the brightness, bring it fully alive for yourself. I know for some people, when they practice metta, they imagine like a star in the heart, and they imagine that star radiating in all directions and just radiating light out. And that might be a very powerful practice for you to try. Perhaps not. So visual is one way we tend to process. Another is auditory. And for some people, the phrases can be very, very powerful. To either reflect on the phrases that work for you or to find the phrases that really resonate for you. And to imagine that you are really repeating those phrases, sort of whispering those phrases internally and silently. Others of us are more kinesthetic. It's more in the realm of feeling. And this can be a very direct and helpful way to access the practice of metta, to move it from a conceptual experience and to really bring it deeply into the body. When you think of a friend who you know cares about you, and you stream attention and energy to that person who you know is an ally of yours? Can you let a felt sense form? Where do you feel that on the inside? Can you let your body resonate with that feeling of love and gratitude and appreciation? Can you bring that more ever present? That might be a very powerful practice for you. Or you may find, as I do, it's a combination of all of them. To use visualization to bring it alive. Use the phrases to help you remember, almost like a mantra, to engage the body into the practice. In the classic training of metta, and we'll be exploring different approaches, the classic teaching is where you begin with the self, which for many people is the hardest place to start. We are so entrained in ruthless self-criticism. The next is to turn your attention to an ally, to someone who you know is your advocate, it really cares about you. And sometimes I find it's helpful to start with that, to start with something that's really easy, that gives you access to. In one retreat, there was an older man who was really struggling in his life. He was not in contact with his kids. He was divorced. He was really, really shut down. And he couldn't find anything that provided an access for him to the heart. And after a long conversation with one of the teachers, he came to realize that when he was a kid, there was a dog in his neighborhood that he kind of liked. That was his starting point. So as you begin to explore, you want to find a portal that works for you. There may be something that's reliable. You might have to go through your inventory to explore what will help you to begin to get the heart flowing. So we begin with self. We reflect on allies and advocates, where it's kind of easy to offer metta and loving kindness. The next stage is you reflect on the neutral people in your life, the people that you don't have any particular attraction nor aversion to, you know, the kind of the people you see every day, to wish them well. During a month-long training, in the third week, we were exploring a neutral person, and I chose our retreat manager, who struck me as a fine but otherwise unremarkable person. And so for every day, I was just wishing her well, wishing her ease. And by about the third day, she walked in the meditation hall. And my heart, it was like, oh, my beloved has arrived. And I realized I was falling in love with the retreat manager. It was a really wonderful thing to see that where the attention goes, the energy flows. Then we can turn our attention to the difficult people, those with whom we feel separation. And we'll explore different processes as we go through the week. We're going to spend a little bit of time today on metta for self. There are, again, different little techniques and different strategies that can be helpful. One of them is, again, as Pat mentioned, and I'll review a few of these, and then we'll move into our practice together. It can be very helpful to reflect on gratitude and appreciation. It might be one object or a number of objects. As one teacher said, it is impossible to be angry and grateful at the same time. And so by letting attention flow to gratitude and appreciation, you're beginning to make that shift. Quite often it can be helpful to have a physical gesture from time to time to place your hand on your heart. It can be a way of just touching in. Some people find it very helpful to offer a smile at the eyes or a smile at the lips. And for some people that doesn't resonate, for some people it does. And I always found myself very cynical around that practice. But I was doing a sit with An Hung, who teaches in the Thich Nhat Hanh tradition. And in his very, very sweet voice, she offered this instruction. And the cynical part of my brain went wild, but then I tried it. She said, and now put the smile of a baby on your lips. I thought, oh, my God. But then I did it. It was like, oh, this is kind of powerful. It can be helpful to reflect on, as well, on the dedication of merit. To offer the fruit of your practice to the benefit of either particular people in your life or to all beings. And it can be helpful to use the phrases as a way of returning back to self-care. So we'll move into some practice, and I'll be offering a few little techniques that you can try on, and then you can evaluate what really resonates for you. And so in the spirit of kindness to the body, let's try the stretch again. You can reach your arms up. Draw the navel in toward your spine. Lift up out of the waist. And either interlace your fingers and bring them to the crown of your head or maybe slightly behind your head. And begin to slow down and deepen your breath. Let the breath be deep and full. And also notice what happens if you smooth out your breath, drawing in a contraction between the shoulder blades, widening the elbows out. About 4 or 5 breaths can be a very powerful way to kind of reset internally. And then if you like, reach the arms up overhead with the eyes closed. Feel the space between the fingers and thumbs. And then if you like, in slow motion, let your hands begin a descent. Feel the hands as they flow through space. Feel the breath. Feel the sounds around you. You might bring into mind someone or something with which you feel gratitude or appreciation right now. Might be helpful to visualize, to invoke any sounds or words you associate with this, and to let a feeling develop on the inside. You might invoke a slight smile at the corner of the eyes, or a very slight smile on the lips, and notice if there's any internal shift. Be with this. If you like, you might bring into mind someone or those who you know are your advocates and allies, those who appreciate you, who enjoy you, who laugh at your jokes. And as you breathe, just to sense their presence, and again, to notice if there's any felt shift on the inside. And if it were possible to look through the eyes of those who appreciate and love you, what do they see? Your goodness, your light, your ease. You might reflect on the following phrases, either letting the words just pass through your awareness, or to repeat the words internally, or to explore any words that most resonate for you. May I feel happy. May I feel peace. May I feel safe from inner and outer harm. May I feel free from suffering. Sensing in your own way your intention and willingness to increase your capacity for happiness in your life. Your willingness to increase your capacity for inner peace. Increase your capacity for feeling safe, feeling free. You might sense through the body, exploring the play of Vedana and the arising and falling of the three forms of sensation. And sensations you find pleasant, and sensations you experience as neutral, and those you find unpleasant. And if you wish, in these remaining minutes, you might draw your attention to some place inside that either has a quality of unpleasant, or some part of the body that has been wounded in some way, some part of the body that is calling for healing. And you might explore in your own way and what it's like to attend to those sensations. As a mother would a child, as a caring parent would a child. Letting both awareness, attention, and energy flow, and tracking anything that might move or shift or change on the inside. In these remaining minutes, you might reflect on anyone in your life that may be going through a difficult time, that might be struggling right now. And you might, in your own way, wish them well. May you feel happy. May you feel peace. May you feel safe from inner and outer harm. May you feel free from suffering. And imagine now you could radiate that sense of well-being to the person on your left, the person on your right, in front of you, behind you. Imagine this well-being extending out in all directions to all beings without discrimination. Is it possible to radiate this out beyond the horizon at the same time to offer it to yourself, to each cell of your body? To this breath. blessings in your practice. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.